typically in December we kind of start celebrating Christmas a little bit early, so the songs that we're singing today are Christmas songs. So join us with Go Tell It on the Mountain. The words are in your bulletin.
Again. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Hey, ain't seen you in a coon's age, man. And you even brought your mother-in-law. Yeah. Everything okay down in Arizona?
Sunnier than this.
Yeah. Have you noticed everyone's really crabby these days? Today we're going to be so full of joy and happy that you can't hardly keep it in your skin. How about that? Couple of announcements. I don't think there's anyone visiting us today. Hey, we've known you, yeah? Everyone's normal. In the fellowship hall afterwards, quilts are for sale. They're marked down. Offering envelopes are there to be picked up for next year. Church directory, the new telephone, what do they call that computer thing? Emails. Why do I look at you? I need some help. My computer's all locked up. They teach me how to use it, but I don't know how to fix it. Anyway, those are all in the fellowship hall for coffee. Next Sunday is our cantata. The choir's been practicing, and beautiful music. I think you'll enjoy that. But that's the time we start one service at 9 o'clock. Dale, next Sunday we only start one service at 9 o'clock, okay? He was saying, why do we need two services? This is going to go for January, February, and March, okay? All right. Except March 27th is Easter, so we might have two. And all you Southerners, I hope you're back by then. No. Okay, if you go south this winter, save me a bulletin once in a while, okay? Because I like seeing what other churches do, anyway. So next Sunday is the cantata. Is this the last time to sign up for poinsettias? Last day? Okay. All right, good. So if you've got someone you'd like to remember, honor, we're getting fresh poinsettias, so they'll only be 10 days old, promise to water them. You can pick them up after Christmas Day service. That'd be nice. I think that's all we need to mention today. Advent is the time of preparation, preparing for the coming of the Christ child, preparing for the second coming. And I don't think he's going to come here before I go there. So I think probably you and I will see him in his kingdom before he comes to earth. So I hope we're all in. Today's lesson says, rejoice in the Lord. We don't have to be crabby this Advent. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a surprising God, creator, a mystery. There are all these things wrapped into one, and we can't get our heads around you, but we are told, and we've come to believe that you love us, creator God. And you call us by name, and you knew us before we were born. And this morning we gather to think about who you are and how you'd have us live. You teach us things that will help us get along better, so help us to put those things to work in our lives. You send your son, become human, to experience what we experience, and he teaches us how we can better get along with one another and with you. So open our hearts today and open our minds that we can experience your love and joy and peace. Bless us now with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first hymn is Away in a Manger, and it's in your hymnals 2377.
Please rise and let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in our bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace.
Amen.
Let us come before God in confession. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Sisters and brothers, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Despite being in prison, Paul is remarkably upbeat as he writes this letter. Here, he urges his friends in Philippi to trust God with all their worries and concerns, with the hope that they will experience God's joy and peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm today is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Respond in the bold print where you see the bold R. Use the refrain, "In your midst, the Holy One of Israel." Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might and has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In your midst is the Holy Israel. And you will say in that day, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name, and make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim that this name is exalted. Praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." In your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Advent is found in the third chapter of St. Luke. John the Baptist heralds the mighty one who is coming. John teaches that preparation for God's reign is not a matter of identity, but of bearing fruits of merciful justice, radical generosity, and vocational integrity. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. About this time of the year, many of us start getting a little frantic. Christmas has come up on us so fast. There's still so much to do, and this is a frantic time for lots and lots of people. The season of Advent was supposed to be our chance to get ready. But in another week, it'll be over, and the big day will be here, and all the decorations will be in place, and the packages will be all wrapped, and the last card will be sent. Well, maybe. Maybe the last card will be sent. Then, ready or not, Christmas Day arrives. I asked Skip this morning before church, "Are you ready? Are you prepared for Christmas?" And he said, "I'm prepared for the real Christmas, huh? Not the Christmas of Santa Claus and reindeer and tinsel and expensive gifts." As wonderful as these things are. And so I ask you the question, are you prepared for the birth of the Christ child, for the second coming of Christ? I looked at these lessons and I thought that that first lesson from Philippians 4 that Paul wrote was maybe something that could help us down the road, huh? It gives us a formula for getting our hearts ready for Christmas. Listen to his words again. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In these words, Paul gives us a pretty comprehensive formula for finding peace this Christmas, huh? Peace which, he says, transcends all understanding, a peace that none of us can really understand, but we know is there. And so I want to consider this formula for a few moments this morning. First, he says, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Christmas is a time for joy, but St. Paul's admonition about rejoicing in the Lord always has no Pollyanna denial about the presence of suffering in the world. I don't know if you know this or not, but Paul wrote this letter from prison. Essentially, he's on death row. He's in chains. He's waiting to find out if he's going to be sentenced to death or not. And he has this amazing spirit. Did you know that he was shipwrecked 3 times, and at least once he was stoned? And I'm not talking about the stuff you smoke out in Colorado, Jim. I mean, stoned with real rocks. 5 times he was scourged, beaten with whips, huh? He'd been the focus of riots and death threats, and after one harrowing near-death experience, he was bitten by a snake. Yet these experiences couldn't take away his joy. There he is in prison, writing about rejoicing in the Lord. It's obvious that joy doesn't mean everything is going to go your way in life. Joy doesn't mean receiving everything you desire in life. Joy doesn't even mean having an enormous haul of goodies under your Christmas tree. Joy doesn't come from fame and prosperity. All you got to do is look at some of the celebrities. Joy comes from an inner assurance that whatever you're going through, whether it's good or bad, you know that God's with you. And you have this trust, this joy that burns, huh? I know joy is a difficult concept for some people, especially at Christmas. One of the most depressing things about Christmas for these people is the fact that everyone else seems so jolly and so happy. There are persons who've lost the ability to laugh, people who've lost the ability to pray, even to rejoice in the Lord. They might not be misers, but they have a great deal of the spirit of Scrooge in them, or the Grinch that stole Christmas. Something in life has made them afraid, afraid to trust life, afraid to trust other people, afraid to trust God. There's people like that out there. Stories told of a group of missionaries who went to a tribal group in Africa. Missionaries told the people in the tribe that once they were baptized, they could no longer dance. Missionaries have done a disservice to some people in some of their ways, huh? They could no longer dance. So these Africans who converted to Christianity became known as the people who have given up dancing. And I think how sad that is, because we're supposed to be full of joy and happiness. I mean, we need to be reminded of the Puritans. The Puritans, they banned the celebration of Christmas. They said it was frivolous and pagan, and so they didn't have Christmas, the Puritans that we honor at Thanksgiving. There's some people who are afraid to be happy. They nurture their fears, they nurture their resentments, they nurture their hurts, they shut themselves off from others, become little islands unto themselves. They can't experience the joy of Christmas because they haven't let Christ set them free to be who God created them to be. They need to be like that quiet young writer who came to the wildly uninhibited Zorba the Greek. Remember Zorba the Greek? This introverted writer said to Zorba, "Teach me to dance." He needed to get out of his skin to dance and live. If there ever was a time for dancing, it's Christmas. The Lord of all the heavens and earth has come to us in our world in the form of a baby. What a supreme cause for celebration that God became human in the form of a baby. So Paul, he knows that, and he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Some of us are afraid of giving in to that kind of unadulterated joy. You know what? This congregation's pretty good about being pretty happy, though. And it's good for me to be here. That's the first thing Paul says. Next, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, that's something maybe some of us could work on. Interesting thought, Advent and Christmas being a time of gentleness, unless, of course, you're headed to the mall. Black Friday is a great day for Christmas. I'm kidding, of course. Some people have actually broken into fights at Christmas. Some people fight at other times, right, Pat? Others have been trampled by an avalanche of shoppers. We've all heard it and seen it. It's hard to be gentle at Christmas. I heard this story, I don't know if it's true or not. Two gals were down at the Mall of America. One had flown in from New York City. Another was a southerner, had this southern drawl, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting for one of those fancy stores to open. And they started visiting with one another, and the wealthy New Yorker was asked by the southerner and her nice little drawl what she had gotten after they'd gotten to know each other, what she had gotten from her husband for her first Christmas. And the wealthy New Yorker said, well, he bought me a magnificent mansion. Well, bless your heart, the southerner said. What about the second Christmas? Well, he bought me a Mercedes stretch limousine. Well, bless your heart. And the third Christmas, he bought me a beautiful diamond bracelet. Well, bless your heart. And the wealthy woman says to the southerner, and what did your husband get for you your first Christmas? He sent me 2 weeks to a charm school. Really? What did you learn at the charm school? Well, they taught me that instead of saying, well, who gives a darn, they taught me to say, well, bless your heart. Gentleness might be a little difficult in the mad rush of Christmas. We need to step back and reflect on the thought about this baby in the manger. We don't often think of the gentleness of God, huh? But how else can we think of God at Christmas? I mean, we know he's a God of power. We know he's a God of holiness. But how often do we think of God being gentle? Yet the same God who created the heavens and the earth became one of us, and he emptied himself, took on the human form, even the form of a tiny baby. It's a thought too amazing for us to comprehend. There's a guy named Mark Lowry. He put it in his Christmas song. You've all heard it before. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. And I particularly like the last two lines of the song. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And where you kiss, and when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. A beautiful song. How can you possibly get your mind around something like that? And yet God has become a part of this magic of Christmas. And Paul will write, let your gentleness be evident over all. The Lord is near, he says. Let me give you an example of gentleness. An Israeli soldier was on patrol in an area where the Palestinians were being occupied. He was walking down the street. He felt a rock hit him, and then another one, another one. He turned around with his rifle, and he was ready to do some action, ready to fire. But there in front of him were a couple of Palestinian children, three or four of them. They're picking up more rocks to throw at him. Now, what could he do? He wasn't going to fire on live ammo at kids. But he wasn't going to let them get away with throwing rocks either. So what he did was threw his rifle on his back, picked up a few rocks and started, what do they call this? You're with me. You're not asleep yet, thank you. And so he juggled, and the kids dropped their rocks. And pretty soon he did a few more tricks with these rocks, and pretty soon they clapped and clapped, and he took a bow and he walked away. The story could have had a very different ending. We've seen confrontations in our own lands the last few years. Just watched the news yesterday and this confrontation that took place down on St. Croix. I wish it could have ended differently. But we could have the gentleness of Christ, the gentleness that transforms anger and change anger to laughter and hatred to love. And that's the kind of gentleness that Paul's urging us to have. You and I could use a dose of gentleness, I think. We could adopt that into our lives. And then he writes, don't let be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, no wonder Paul could rejoice even when he's waiting in prison to learn his fate. No wonder when people oppressed him and abused him and when they beat him and said all manner of evil things about him, he could respond with a remarkable gentleness. He had learned life's greatest secret, I think. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Trust in God. Let him know what you're feeling and thinking. A missionary to China named Henry Frost was going through a difficult time in his life. Later, he wrote these words in his journal. This is what he said. He said, I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an island station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try thanksgiving. I did, he said, and in a moment every shadow was gone, not to return. Have you ever gone through a difficult time when your spirits were flagging and you're about to give up, you're at the end of the rope, you didn't know what else to do? Did you try giving thanks for what you have, what you've been given, even in the midst of your difficult times? It's so easy to be thankful at Christmas. I mean, we have so much. And Santa Claus, well, not so much us, but you see the joy of Santa Claus and our kids and grandkids with so many nice things. The stores are filled this year with symbols of material affluence. But for some people, material affluence only masks their spiritual poverty, tries to cover up the emptiness in their lives. Internally, they're paupers, basically. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Our lesson today, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then St. Paul, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, makes you and me a promise. He promises us this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's my prayer for you this Christmas. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Invite the praise team to sing Silent Night.
Page 281.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Emmanuel has come, is here, and is coming soon. Let us join in prayer for the church, the earth, and those who are in need, that all receive what God promises to give. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the church throughout the world, for bishops, pastors, and seminaries, for the courage to live out the challenges of our baptism, and for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. For the earth, for glaciers, for the protection of dormant vegetation and hibernating animals, and for wisdom in the use and care of the creatures and landscapes we live among, let us pray. For the nations of the world, for soldiers and police, for all who suffer political oppression, for our enemies, and especially for the refugees in the Mideast and in Africa, let us pray. For all those in need, for those who are sick or cold, injured or outcast, for victims of fraud or extortion, for all who will die today, and especially for those in our lives and in our congregation, let us pray. For this congregation, for joy in Christ, and for our community, for an increase in practices that truly enact justice and compassion, let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for becoming human, for experiencing our joys and our sufferings. We thank you for your Spirit that lives and dwells in us. Allow us to immerse ourselves in your Spirit now and forever. We praise you, O God, for the lives of all the faithful departed, that we complete our baptismal journey in you. Let us pray. Receive our prayers, faithful God, as we watch and wait for your coming among us in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Now may God direct your ways in peace, make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Joy to the World.
267.
Joy.